This is Will's Band of the Week for May 5th, 2013. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett.
Hello.
On the stool, and Chris, live in studio.
Yes, and this is a new chair, like a new throne type
of
chair.
A wicker chair.
This is Game of Wicker Thrones.
Chris is in the comfy chair, so you might notice that Chris appears a little more comfortable, and Barrett is very upright.
Yeah.
And my I'm in the usual kind of office chair thing.
My voice is going to tail off as I nap in between in between bands.
So it's not because he thinks the music is boring or that Barrett and I are boring. It's just the chair, okay?
That didn't take long.
No, it didn't.
We have a chair a lot like this. It's like a synthetic all-weather wicker, right?
Right, it's like a plastic wicker chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So should we mention that it's Chris's birthday weekend?
Yeah.
Hey.
We did mention that he turned 40.
Yes.
That's already happened.
Was I supposed to say that?
Oh, that's fine.
All right.
Chris is sensitive. I think he wants people to think he's like 32, maybe. But you know what? You can't cheat age, you know?
Right.
It just happens.
You know, I do spend a lot of time thinking about age and wisdom and, you know, would I go back and be a youngster again but not know the things that I don't know now? And I'm pretty comfortable knowing the things that I know now.
Yeah, I agree.
I do have like a 90-year-old right knee and can't barely walk.
But you've got a lot of experience.
Indeed.
And if you think if you were doing this podcast and you were only like 32, I mean, you would not bring the wealth of information to the listeners. You'd be still talking about Soundgarden probably.
Right.
Right?
That's true.
So if I were 32 now, I would probably not be talking about Soundgarden.
No. What would you be talking about if you were 32 now?
I don't know. I wouldn't be able to reach way back into the into my
vast musical
knowledge of the 80s.
Wasn't that long ago. 1995.
That what?
Or 2005, rather.
That what?
That you were 32.
Oh. Yeah.
Wasn't that long ago. Yeah.
Back That's then, true. You would have been talking about whatever. The Shins or something.
I was shocked at how long ago the Shins album, like the first big one, came out. It was like 2001.
Like 2000, really?
2000, wow. 2001, something like that. So they would have been like old news. The backlash would have already started by then.
Yeah.
You'd be, I don't know.
I was putting up my like top 10 albums of the year on my blog at that point. You know, 5. And I'm sure it was like Sufjan Stevens or something like that.
Yeah. Hmm. Those were the days.
I'm pretty sure 05 is when Illinois came out. So yeah, I was, you know. I would have had stuff to talk about, I think.
Is there any music news? I think a couple people died, but they weren't like really... like were they people
the
that we should
mention?
The guy
from Slayer died.
Yeah.
I thought one of you guys would have something to say about that.
Slayer?
I'd never heard of the guy.
He died from like an insect bite or a spider bite or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got no real interest in Slayer. But when Will just said that there was nobody of any interest, you know, I have to interject here and say that the... Chris Cross.
I did hear that too.
Yeah, died. And I don't think they know of what. He was 34 years old, and we all remember Chris Cross.
But that wasn't the guy's name, right?
It was Chris something.
Oh. There were two of them.
But the band was Chris Cross, I thought.
Right. Yes, the band was Chris Cross. They went by Mac Daddy and Daddy Mac. And of course, they wore their clothes backwards. Incidentally, if I were 35 right now, or 32...
Yeah,
I would have never have heard of Chris Cross, but since I am 40, they were out when I was in high school, so I have heard of them.
That's a good point.
Boy, I've heard the name, and I don't even know what it sounds like.
Clothes backwards, and then
I mean not just their baseball caps, but like everything.
He had notches, shaved in his eyebrows. That's
yes,
all I remember.
They wore their clothes backwards. They were totally crossed out, wiggity wiggity whack.
What's he talking about?
I don't know.
Not to be confused, of course, with Christopher Cross.
Right.
Of Sailing.
Yeah.
I'm sure the two get mixed up quite a bit. Although, when the news was breaking and I was seeing it on Twitter, I was sad not for the fact that this guy was dead. I mean, I'm sad that he's dead. but sad for the fact that here's this guy who, when he was like 13 years old, has this big song, and now it's 25 years later or whatever it is, 21, 22 years later, and we're still saying, oh, yeah, there's the guy from Crisscross. When the, you know, you have people, brain surgeons and people who come up with, you know, cures for major diseases and stuff. These guys pass away. We say nothing. But, oh, the guy from Crisscross, he had that one song when he was 13, and suddenly everybody feels bad about that. So it's really kind of depressing. Oh, here we go. Was this from the Arthur soundtrack, or is that if you get caught between the moon and New York City?
I don't know. I did a search for sailing, and there is an Arthur's theme.
Yes.
Yeah. This is not Chris Cross. This is Christopher Cross.
This will not make you jump.
No.
I could listen to this now. Let's just play this the rest of the podcast. Whatever happened to this guy? Well, it's not far down to paradise. I remember him being a bigger guy.
Yeah, he was kind of an... I think.
Yeah.
I remember within the last 10 years reading about him, and he just, you know, one of these, like, hard luck artists that was big and, you know, whatever it was.
But don't they all come back in some way and, like, they have some kind of revival tour?
Probably. I mean, he's probably
done that kind of
thing. If
Christopher Cross played like an Indian casino around Wisconsin, he'd probably get a pretty good crowd.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
Could him and Leo Sayer.
Leo Sayer.
And who else? Like Al Stewart.
Yeah.
That would be quite a lineup.
You're the cat.
I'd go see that.
That's right. I was hoping to get to the sailing part.
There we go. Here we go.
What would that be about, like, 19...
That's got to be
1980. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
On his greatest hits, there's no song you've ever heard of other than Sailing. So
I actually just watched Arthur again, the old Arthur, not the new remade one. And Sir John Gielgud is in that. And he's awesome.
Right?
He's like the snippy butler.
So was that song?
Butler.
Was that song the theme for Arthur or something? Or is there a totally different song?
I think it's the Arthur's theme is if you get caught between the moon and New York City.
Oh, it's kind of reminiscent of this song.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell, you know, it was influenced. One was influenced by the other.
Hmm.
But
so the whole premise is, you know, Arthur's a rich guy, and then he meets this woman on the street who's like a prostitute or something or some low-down woman.
Liza Minnelli?
Yes. And then Sir John Gielgud, his butler, who's protecting him. When he finally meets Liza Minnelli, he says, "Normally, in order to find a woman of your quality, one must hang out at a bowling alley." Which I just thought is a great insult
for
any woman that you may not like.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Keep that one in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned that it's Chris's birthday celebration weekend. We're going to go to a Brewer game, and then afterwards, maybe go out and get a couple of beers, right?
One or two.
Maybe you could say that to somebody.
And wake up the next morning with a big hand mark on my face.
Of course, we might be at a bowling alley, though.
That's true. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't object to that.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Birthday jokes.
So, Christopher. Some people might be confused and think that Christopher Cross died.
We want to make sure that he did not get caught between the new moon and New York City.
No, he's still
with us. Yes.
Right.
He's still around, soon to be playing at a county fair near you, right?
Right.
We should have him on the podcast. I mean, what is Christopher Cross doing these days? Just call him up.
Yeah. Probably be available, I think.
One would think.
We should start getting guests, right?
We should.
Yes.
Not just guest hosts, but like musical guests.
We know guys in the music industry that we could call, right?
Yeah.
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 All they need is Skype and a good microphone, right?
Right.
And they're on. We don't tolerate bad sound quality. We're all about quality around here. So, all right. Well, hey, no music news, really. I mean, I guess that was sort of music news.
Well, here's some music news. I just read this on Twitter this afternoon, but rapper Lil Wayne was dropped by Pepsi for referencing Emmett Till in a song. You know Emmett Till? He's the guy that, he's a like a 14-year-old kid from Chicago that went to visit relatives in Mississippi, like in 1955, and was, you know, murdered by these white guys and acquitted by an all-white jury and stuff.
Yeah.
And Lil Wayne referenced him in a rap in a way that's so disgusting to talk about both him and women that I wouldn't even dare paraphrase it. Anyway, he was dropped, and the kid's family asked him if he would apologize, and he gave one of these horseshit apologies, like, "I'm sorry if what I said offended you."
Yes,
which is not
famous non-apology apologies.
You know,
so. I'm sorry if you've got a problem with what I said.
Yeah. Anyway, so
yeah.
All
right. Well, no more Pepsi dollars. Probably.
Was this manufactured by Bill O'Reilly in some way? Because I thought, didn't he go after Ludacris at some point for doing Pepsi ads?
That sounds right.
I think that was a big, yeah, that was a big crusade of his for Pepsi to drop Ludacris at some point.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, well, this one, like, he's basically saying, I guess I will kind of paraphrase it without getting too graphic. He's like, I want to do to this woman, like what they did to Emmett Till, which is, you know, gouge one of his eyes out, shoot him in the head, throw him in the river.
That's not a nice thing
to
do to anybody.
Yeah, so that's like, you know.
Doesn't get you the Pepsi endorsement. Nope.
Yeah. Pepsi doesn't, you know, does not condone that kind of behavior at all.
It is not the opinion of their employees or management.
No. So.
All right. Let's talk about music now.
All right.
I think, let's go with Steve Mason first.
Oh.
I think Barrett first brought this to our attention.
Yeah.
I think I had maybe thrown it on a Spotify playlist because I read a little bit about it. But you definitely knew more about this guy. So why don't you tell us about him?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about him. He's from Scotland, and he's one of the founding members of the Beta Band. You remember those guys from the early aughts, and they broke up probably 10 years ago, but I had never thought much about, first of all, I'd never heard of him. I just knew about the band, and recently heard that the guy from the Beta Band had a new album, so, but I guess he's had a couple others in there that I've not listened to, and this one I just started liking right away, and you guys have any thing to say about Steve Mason? First of all, isn't that a terrible name?
It's just a like
Steve
he's just
Mason?
A guy. He's just a guy.
Yeah,
just
it's one guy. Of these that I never would have listened to had it not come with your recommendation. Like I wouldn't have. Yeah, the name is, you know, just a name. It could be really anything.
You should have made a catchy band name like Neutral Milk Hotel or something.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some music news.
Oh yeah,
they're getting back together.
They're gonna tour. Right?
I'm supposed to. I know I'm supposed to be excited about that, but I'm not.
Well, that's what I'm thinking too. Like, if they came, would we go just because we're supposed to? Because we're like,
I would not go.
Hip rockers.
Well, my former neighbor Mandy, who actually turned me on to the big album, The Airplane Over the Sea, more than a decade ago, she lives in Eugene, Oregon now, and went to go see one of his shows just a couple weeks ago. And for her, it was just like this religious experience.
Wow.
Like it was the greatest thing she had ever seen in her life.
Wow.
So I checked out the touring schedule. It doesn't look like he's coming around here anywhere. But yeah, what were we talking about? Steve Mason?
Yeah. Let's play a song by Steve Mason. The album is called Monkey Minds in the Devil's Time.
Yep. And I'm going to play a song called A Lot of Love, which is track number 4 on the album.
I never knew I sat beside myself. I tried to be just like the rest. I walked a corridor to find you here. I did not expect you to be so near. There's bits and pieces of me everywhere. A collection of points and they did not care. So now I walk around a place plastic bag, I pick my spot to leave my flag. Is there a love left for me? I just don't know. Is there a love for me, or did I let it go? Is there a love left for me? I just don't know. Is there a love for me, or did I let it go? Just a man collecting all he knows for the future one if the wind don't blow. I had it happen in another life. You put your arm around, but you feel the knife. To be invisible is sad for. Though there is another one, and she told me so. She told me so.
Steve Mason.
Now, where did you hear this album?
Well, I listened to it on Spotify, and I'm trying to remember where.
Yeah, who recommended
it? You know how Spotify gives you recommendations?
Mm-hmm.
I must have listened to the Beta Band or something, or other stuff I listened to, that it came up there. Mm. So,
it
otherwise
told you
I wouldn't have heard, because I didn't hear about his other stuff he did.
Yeah,
yeah, I've heard of the Beta Band, but I didn't know what they sounded like, so I had no idea what to expect.
Well, Spotify told me that the Will's Band of the Week Spotify playlist had added this. And
yeah,
so I checked it out and. I was kind of listening to it passively as I was doing something else, and just kind of like through osmosis, I felt like that maybe the second half of the album was a lot better than the first. But upon repeated listenings, I'm liking the whole thing quite a bit. It's like it's kind of like a little more eclectic, like John Grant maybe, without maybe as much humor.
Yeah,
kind of. I mean, there's some weird stuff going on here.
The humor, like, the humor is in kind of like the little weird interludes and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's 20 tracks, and it kind of alternates between like a full-length song and like a 1 or 2 minute thing.
Yeah,
right.
there's like a song in here. I mean, there's like a couple songs with some dance beats, and like then there's some rap in the middle somewhere.
Yeah,
just, I don't know if that's Scottish rap or what exactly is going on, but
yeah,
I liked it quite a bit. My favorite song on here is the closer, number 20, which is called "Come to Me." So I would play that one.
This is about the rest of us, the ones you left behind. We had no notion of all your wicked crimes. We are the ones you told your kids of before they went to sleep. What you did.
Yeah, that's a good one. Steve
that's
Mason.
Great.
You know, I think Chris has a thing about the last track on the album. It seems like a lot of times you pick the last track. And that's definitely a good one. Sometimes I think I overlooked the last track. It's like somehow you get focused on like the meat of the album.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So many bands save like the last track is just the one they feel like just kind of wraps everything up. And
yeah,
I don't know. Like, yeah. There's some last tracks like on Y Oaks, The Knot, where they save this like huge drum beat, like just to fade out to the end of the album. That is just, I think it's the highlight of the album, like the last 10 seconds of the album. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just kind of, you know, it ties up the album in a little bow for you.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think bands tend to sort of like overdo it so the last track doesn't fit in with the rest of the album. Like, we'll do like remember the first Vaccines album? There's all this great rockin' stuff, and at the end they're like, okay, we're gonna tack on like a piano song.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even fit, doesn't sound right.
We recorded it, might as well put it on the album, just kind of bury it at the end.
Yeah. So an effective last track is definitely a cool thing. All right, I'm gonna pick one that has some really great backing vocals. It's track 6, Lonely.
I'm lonely in my bed, black tree spinning out of my.
Weren't those some impressive backing vocals there?
Those are good.
That was
I think we picked three of the best songs on there.
Kind of revival style. And I'd never listened to that song on headphones, so I didn't notice like kind of the buzzy bass.
Right,
which is kind of
pretty
cool.
It's got that buzz thing.
It's a nice effect.
Yep.
Yeah,
all right.
That's good.
I wonder how our listeners listen. Like, do you think a lot of people listen with headphones? Or are they in their car? Are they doing the dishes? They've been probably doing like everything.
I would bet headphones because they're probably too embarrassed to let anybody know that they actually listen to this podcast.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Right, you're right. If you
what are you listening to?
Same
I'm listening
like
to
people don't read porn on airplanes.
What are you listening to? I'm listening to NPR, All Songs Considered.
No, be like, who are those dorks you're listening
to? I'm listening to this great TED talk on Botswana.
Right.
Yeah.
They should give us a TED talk.
They should. What would we talk about?
I don't know. We'd have to find something of value. Maybe
couldn't talk about
Cross.
Music. Yeah, maybe. Oh man.
All right. There's more. Oh, that was Steve Mason, by the way. And
we could talk about beer.
Good.
Do a TED talk about beer.
Yeah, we could.
This week's podcast is brought to you by Bell's Two-Hearted Ale.
Oh. That is a really good beer.
Yeah, this is one of the best.
Yep.
It's got a fish on it, which, kind of, you know, kind of turns me
almost
off.
Well, yeah, but most beer that has a fish on it is pretty good.
Hasn't kept me from drinking it, that's for sure.
Like, remember Schmidt cans from the 70s?
Oh, man,
I bet
yeah.
those were pretty good. Those had fish on yeah. some. And snowmobiles and hunters.
Yep. Northern Wisconsin and Minnesota beer. Yep. That's what that was.
I've noticed on Will's Spotify that he can actually see what I've been listening to. And
oh, right over here, yeah.
Yes, and it
Look
appears
at that.
Appears my children have been listening to Kids Bop and Justin Bieber, and it shows up on his list as me listening to it.
Yeah, so. We had
What did he listen to last
didn't
week?
Didn't we have One Direction on there?
You listened to One Direction last yeah. week, Chris.
Oh, I'm a huge One Direction.
Did, I know.
One D, as they're known.
Yeah, I found out that you can...
Oh, man.
Like, I took my thing off of... sharing, so I don't think it ever shows up on there what I listen to.
Yeah.
No, today I saw that you listened to something. You listened to Steve Mason. I can see what you listened to.
Maybe it's just that it doesn't go to Facebook.
Right, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, that's,
you know,
that's
I made,
all I did then.
But I made some random playlist, and then I got this note that somebody subscribed to my playlist. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I did that with...
And then when I clicked on the option, and it has this thing about, like, making your playlist public. But
right.
somehow it must have been defaulting to making it public. Or maybe it automatically makes it available to your friends or something. I don't know. The social media is out of control. We don't even know what it's doing.
Yeah.
I had a playlist that was really just... All my playlists are just the like an album.
Yeah. Something
right?
Yeah.
So I had the album, like, what I have no idea what it was. And some random person followed me. Like, why don't you just go get that album yourself? Did she think, or he or she think that I, made this greatest hits or something?
Well,
or?
You're the famous Barrett from Will's Band
that
of the Week.
That could be.
So,
might have been a fan.
That's right.
Might have been a fan.
That's probably it. Yeah. All right. Do you know the Yeah Yeah Yeahs have a new album?
I'd heard that.
Yeah, it's called Mosquito. And I'm kind of the resident Yeah Yeah Yeahs fan here,
you
I think.
You are.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to probably have to take the lead, and then you guys can tell me whether I'm totally off base or whatever. So here's the deal with this album. I'm just going to tell you what I think about this album. It's a band that I really like, and I still really like. But this album is kind of okay, but not great, because it has a few tracks that just kind of drag a little bit. But it has some really good highlights. So it has not diminished really how much I like the band, which is still a lot. Kind of wish the album as a whole were a little bit stronger. But let's play the title track. This is pretty rocking. Mosquito.
Are you gonna let them in? They're hiding beneath you.
I actually happen to know for a fact that that song is number one on the current Entomologist Top 40 list.
As it should be.
It should be, yeah.
Yeah.
Just beat out Smashing Pumpkins' Bullet with Butterfly Wings.
But their all-time favorite, you know what that's got to be? The Beatles. But no, on there she really got to the heart of what the mosquito thinks and does.
Right.
Suck your blood. Exactly. That's right. Really
that's
about
what they
it.
Do.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But yeah, it's got a good vocal performance on that. And the bass kind of sounds like a mosquito a little bit. Do you notice that? On the little
it's kind of
one
buzzy.
Note bass solo.
Yeah. Yep. New York band. The Yeah Yeah Yeahs. So you guys gonna say anything or am I just gonna keep playing stuff here?
Is Karen O from New York? I thought she was from Ohio or something.
Yeah, she was from originally. I think she went to like Oberlin College in Ohio and then maybe met one of those guys. Or maybe she just moved to, I don't know, at some point she moved to New York.
Oberlin College in Ohio, and she's Karen O.
Exactly.
A lot of O's there.
Yep. Yep. Must be your favorite letter. Yeah.
See, Will's all like, yeah, I think she's from Ohio. And he is such a fan. He knows exactly where she's from.
You think I know
from.
More than I'm letting on?
And the 37 emails that I've sent her.
Yeah. Jeez. You're being real coy like this in case your wife listens.
In between the cease and desist letter she sent me, she told me she was from Ohio.
Not to embarrass you, but in the past, you have admitted that it's sort of an embarrassing little thing between you and your wife. Like
she thinks I like Karen O too much. Yeah.
And you say to yourself, that's not possible. Right?
Yes. Something like that, yeah.
And but, you're admitting it to almost a dozen people on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That's enough picking on Will.
You
I
guys
guess.
Are picking on me.
Yeah.
All right.
Please, go on.
Okay, so did you guys listen to this, or are you just like here to listen to me talk about it? Which
I
fine.
Listened to it just one time,
mm-hmm.
and so I don't really have a song to pick. And I think, well, we talked about it on the way here. Chris is in the same boat.
Yeah, I listened to it once, just kind of passively. I didn't. I was not an active listener.
Let
so.
Me take the Chris news. Strategy then of playing the last track, because this is one of the slow ones that I think is good, and. I think that that she's a good singer in the, you know, kind of wild mode like the last track we played, and also just like in soft mode too. So that's what this one is called.
I think she's great when she sings anything.
Anything, yeah. This one's called Wedding Song.
Thank you.
So there you have the quiet yeah.
That's the sound I like better.
Yeah, you've never been a fan of kind of her screaming and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's just, you know, so there's things where somebody could write out a description on paper and you think that you would like it, but for whatever reason it doesn't connect with you. But if they all sounded like that,
you know, one thing that I find interesting about her is that I think that one of the things that I like about her is that she sort of seems a little bit awkward. And I think that's kind of cool in a way. It's like she does this kind of crazy stuff, and sometimes it kind of seems just almost kind of like uncomfortable. Like she'll do this weird, just crazy stuff, like with her stage antics. And I don't know. I guess I kind of just admire somebody that just goes out there and kind of goes nuts and doesn't worry about, she's not worrying about like, oh, they're going to think I look awkward, you know?
Right.
So even though sometimes she does look awkward, I think it's effective in sort of that way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's like overcoming your shyness by just going totally nuts. Who knows?
That sounds like what it might be. I mean, you probably read a little bit about her. I mean, that's not the way that she is at all, right? I think I just read something in the, I think it was in the, well, I didn't buy the New York Times on a Sunday because it's too expensive, but I picked it up on the New York Times magazine, did the crossword, and then I read this thing about the yeah, and they just talked about how they're just sort of these anti-rock stars. Like, they really genuinely don't like the limelight. They're not complaining about being well-known because there's a lot of good things that come along with that, but that, you know, they're really pretty modest and reserved.
And they sort of seem like sort of true artists. Like, they don't, their albums are all kind of different, and they, whenever you think they're going in, like, a certain direction, they kind of just decide, nah, I don't feel like doing that anymore. Like, my favorite thing they ever did was this EP called Is, which is really kind of the louder stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great. And then right after that, they came out with like a poppy album. You know? So Chris came back with
Chris
beers.
Chris is back with
apparently
some,
he didn't find the
beers.
Opener.
I got one on my keychain.
Chris probably scoured the entire kitchen.
Because I'm from Wisconsin,
kitchen.
So.
I did scour the entire kitchen. I could not find bottle opener.
Wow.
It's like on the refrigerator. I went through the same thing.
On the refrigerator,
thing. Yes. It's sort of almost integrated into the design of the refrigerator.
It's really clever. It took me a while to get used to that myself.
There you go.
Yeah. Karen O would have been able to find it, I'm sure.
Well, yep. I'm sure she would, yeah. So I'm going to play one more. Now, I thought about playing the lead track, which is the hit, called Sacrilege, but probably everybody's heard that one, so you can just go find that one so easily. So let's play a different one. This one's kind of more, I don't know what it is. You decide what it is. Track 4, Under the Earth.
Down, down, under earth.
The yeah. So I don't even, how would you even describe that if you were trying to describe what that song sounds like?
Started off sounding a little bit like Wall of Voodoo. Did.
I'm only 32. I don't even know what that means.
I mean, you don't know Mexican Radio by Wall of Voodoo?
Yes, I do know that. How is their band currently configured? Because they used to be just a guitar player, a drummer, and Karen O.
Right, right.
But there's a lot more going on in that song. Yeah, so have they expanded?
Well, they've got a bass player, so they have like a fourth, a touring member, fourth person. Yeah.
Yeah, because that was kind of their thing at the beginning. Was,
right, like, right. They were a three-person band.
Yeah,
right.
Bassless.
Right, there's a lot of bass on this album, which Barrett and I talked about bass a lot last week. Well, I did. I talked to Barrett about bass a lot last week, didn't I?
I talked about baseball. He talked about bass guitar.
One thing we talked about
was... You are
was,
the bass master general.
Right. We were talking about how much I could have contributed to the Kurt Vile album by adding bass.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so still
gonna
maybe
do,
could.
He's going to put some stuff up on YouTube.
Sure.
Of him playing, well, you got to come up with the arrangements.
There's certainly, if there's anything YouTube is missing, it's enough videos of guys playing guitar by themselves.
Exactly.
So you should definitely add to that woefully underrepresented population.
Do you ever watch those things like, well, here's how you play Night Swimming on guitar? And you're like, wow, I'm going to learn. And you're like, yeah, there's no way I can do that.
there is everything on YouTube. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Like I had a cousin who I barely had any contact with who died about a year ago. And it just happened that there were two YouTube videos of him playing guitar on, you know, that were out there.
Really?
And he's playing like this sort of like hillbilly bluegrassy guitar, and it was really weird. He had like all kinds of reverb on his voice, and he was playing this weird guitar, but it was just like, wow, God, I never knew this guy did this.
Yeah,
you know,
that's freaky.
Shouldn't he play some of that right now?
You probably should.
I couldn't even find
Let's
it
hear it. Oh, well, do you know his name?
It was under some weird name.
Oh,
it would, like, if I could find it easily, I would play it, but I can't do it.
I actually found a video, one of my favorite videos on there is a video called How to Sing Like Dave Grohl, which, by the way, he gets another mention.
He mentioned Dave Grohl again, yeah.
But it's funny. It's like this guy who teaches you how to sing like Dave Grohl. It's all about glottal compression, apparently. He's the master of glottal compression.
Seems to
be like some kind of birth control method. But
did you know that... that apparently, a friend of mine was telling me this, that Jack Black does like reviews of guitars and equipment under like an alias on YouTube, and he's got some other name, like the Guitar Master or
what
something.
Does he wear a mask?
That's Jack Black. Well, they just never show his face. So, like, he's the narrator.
Oh.
And they'll say, today we're going to test the brand new, and whatever, it's some like guitar pedal or something.
People probably comment on there like, well, Jack Black would know something like this.
And apparently, like, well, it's like the unwritten thing that everybody knows it's actually Jack Black.
That's like when some magazine once had a write like Graham Greene competition, and Graham Greene himself wrote in under an assumed name, and he came in third.
Wow.
Yeah.
I should know maybe who that is, but I don't know who Graham Greene is.
He's a writer. He wrote
that much I knew from the way you described the story, but
yeah, I didn't know
did
either.
Did he write books?
Yes.
Okay, that's why I don't know who that is.
Novelist,
I read
yes.
magazines.
Yes.
Yeah.
He wrote sad, desperate novels.
Oh.
I can't think of that. I've got like three of them.
It sounds like I would probably like those.
Oh, he's really good. They're really short too. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Sad,
even better,
desperate, short books.
Yes.
Wow, that sounds intriguing.
All right, two down, one to go.
All right.
I was thinking, you know, we were like working on our schedule to get together this week. The lengths we go, the listeners don't even realize. But I was thinking, you know, if we missed this week, we'd have to start like having like six bands every week or something. Because they're just like stacking up.
Yeah.
They are.
You know? So we got another one for this week. There's this guy, and his name is Colin Caulfield, and I'm pretty sure he's from Chicago.
Not to be confused with Holden Caulfield from Catcher in the Rye, another book.
Yeah.
Short, desperate book.
Yes.
Another literary
reference.
This
guy's a phony, isn't he?
Yeah. Yes. Well,
get it?
This guy records under the moniker Young Man. And I saw Young Man. My son and I saw them as a backup band for somebody. It might have been when we saw Yuck at Turner Hall. I think it was at Turner Hall. And they had like at least a 4-person and maybe a 5-person band. I thought they were pretty good. And but it turns out like that I guess the recording project is like this one guy's project, Colin Caulfield. And then he gets a band together and plays out. And anyway, so he's done like 2 or 3 albums, I think, as Young Man. And just came out with one called Beyond Was All Around Me. And I'm looking on Spotify now. It looks like it's the 4th one. So I thought it was pretty good. I put it on because I was familiar with, you know, because I had seen them before. And it was one of those things where I just put it on. And it was like, you know, it was kind of inviting. It invited me to listen again. So that's always a good sign, right? When it invites you to listen again. And well, let's just play some. I'm going to start with the probably the most immediately catchy upbeat track, which is track 2 called Josie. Young Man. I think I read that he said he's going to stop recording under the moniker Young Man. Maybe that's because he's becoming a middle-aged man. He'll change his band name to Middle-Aged Man, and then he'll be, when he reaches Chris's age, he'll be called Old Man.
Oh, wow. Oh, burn.
Then when he reaches my age, he'll be what?
Dead.
Dead.
Dead Man.
Dead Man.
You record an album as Dead Man, and then you release it after you die.
Oh, that's kind of a good idea.
Kind of like like Boys to Men, finally. They kept Boys to Men for a while.
What did they become then? Men to...
They became The Men.
The Men.
The band that we like now. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Right, yeah. They really updated their sound
a new lot. Kids on the Block changed to NKOTB because they weren't kids anymore.
Yeah.
That's pretty
bad.
And
the K then stood for Knights.
Lil Bow Wow just became Bow Wow in the rap world. So yeah,
Little Stevie Wonder just became Stevie Wonder.
That's right.
What was the? There was another band that was just like a description of a person, like Young Man. You know, it has the modifier young. So there's the men, and there's girls, and there's women. Right? Oh, yeah. I know. There's one called Daughter. Have you guys heard Daughter? I'm trying to decide
seems
whether
like
that's
you talked about that
podcast
once.
Worthy. It might be, I think. It's kind of dark.
Jeremy Messersmith is on tour with Daughter right now.
Yeah.
So, yes,
Like, believe it or not, that's the second time Chris has mentioned Jeremy Messersmith now.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
The listeners should tell us whether we should talk about Daughter, because I'm thinking maybe. They're a maybe.
This is all coming back to me now. I think I've seen this band. I think I saw them. I told you about when I went to go see Y-Oak up in Minneapolis. I think they opened for Y-Oak.
It's a like a British woman, I think, and she's got like now a band with her. But she might have gone like on a tour.
Oh, what are we talking about? Daughter or?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Young Man.
Oh.
I think he's from Chicago, right?
Yeah.
I think I saw them. Yeah.
Wow.
And because my story was, and I told you guys at the time, was, you know, Y-Oak, who I love, is playing at this little place in Minneapolis.
The 400 Bar, right?
Yes, the 400 Bar.
Yeah.
And so Young Man is playing, and there was some guy in the backing band who's from Minneapolis. And so the bar is completely packed with this guy's family and friends. So Young Man plays. Mm-hmm. They finish their set. The whole place clears out. It's almost empty for Y-Oak, who's the headliner, who's awesome.
Oh, yeah. That happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, twice as many people for the opener when they're in their when he's in his hometown.
But that was just like Y-Oak was playing a private show for you, Chris. They knew you were worthy. Did they hear? Did they know you listened to their album 83 times?
They are my Karen O.
Yeah, that's right.
Although Jeremy Messersmith, number three now, mention, is also from Minneapolis, and that's far surpassed Y-Oak now. But
really?
Oh yeah, yeah. I still listen to that almost daily.
Oh, you mean Jeremy Messersmith?
Album, yeah.
Wow.
So his next album will be highly anticipated.
We saw him at the Rathskeller together.
Yes.
I saw him once, too. I saw him at, I think, the High Noon opening for somebody.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought he was good. Yeah. Well, I like the album, too. The album that, didn't you tell us about that last album, and it was like December? And you like,
you're looking
like
at me,
snuck,
but you mean him, right?
Well, but Chris told you and I about it, and I think...
Didn't it sneak into my top 10?
Didn't Stephen Thompson put it on, and then you said you like stole it from him or something?
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
At the last minute, yep. Right, or whatever. But yeah, I liked it a lot, too.
And I still think it's probably my favorite album of the last 3 years. Anyway, Young Man.
Yeah, you listened to Young Man, right?
Yes, so I was listening to the Will's Band of the Week Spotify playlist. This is all buzz marketing for Spotify,
you should always
by the way.
Do this, yeah.
Can anybody... I'm interrupting.
Go ahead.
I apologize. Please. Can anybody do that?
Well, the Will's Band playlist is like on my
kind of
personal
internal
Spotify.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to figure out how to do
this.
We
talked about this
I
before.
Tried setting
I'll
up,
shut up
I
now.
Tried to set up a separate account and it was all tricky. Yeah, so.
Never mind.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
So, yes, I was listening to the official list because I had seen that you had added songs to it. So I was listening to Steve Mason and then I was just kind of like zoned out. Just writing something or something. And then this next band started. And I'm like, huh, I probably never would have listened to this, but I really, really like it. So it was immediately likable to me. And if I had to pick a song, I would go with number 10, which is called School. It's kind of a long one. Thank you.
Some orchestral arrangements from Young Man.
Easy to see why Chris likes that with the swelling strings there.
I am a sucker for strings. But yeah, yeah. It was just kicking into the kind of into the main chorus there. There's a long intro, so.
Yep.
That happens a lot when I pick songs too and Will gets...
I cut him off too early?
Yeah.
And you got to tell me to let it play a little longer.
I get preferential treatment?
Yeah.
Because I'm a minor?
All right, now... Barrett, you didn't listen to Young Man, did you?
I started to listen to it, and I was like, I guess I'm going to go back to listening to Steve Mason.
All right.
So,
okay, so I've got...
I liked what I just heard.
I'm gonna totally take this podcast over right now, because I need to play two more things from this Young Man album. Okay? The first is, and this is, I really wonder if he was going for, like, a humor thing, because in track three... which is a 7-minute song, about 5 minutes into it, it just kind of stops, and then it's sort of like, I think I'm going to play some Pink Floyd now. And it's totally Pink Floyd. I don't know if you caught this, Chris, when you listened, but I'm going to find the spot here. Okay, here it is. We're 4.5 minutes into the song now.
Wall out.
Was this on in the car when we were driving?
Yes.
This exact part.
Probably, yeah.
Because I was like, what is... I was thinking, it sounds like The Wall. I promise. I wish I would have said something out loud, because now it doesn't count.
It's totally Pink Floyd, man.
I guess it's not hard to pick that out, but... Well, so far, these two things that I'm listening to... Here we are talking over Will's... selection.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll turn it down. Now you can talk.
But sometimes we do that. But I really, really like the two things that we're playing. They're also very ambitious arrangements and, you know, instrumentation and stuff.
Yeah.
They're not just like some guy, you know, recording something in his kitchen.
Yeah.
I can't imagine they had a real big budget for this. So...
Yeah, it's kind of cool, isn't it?
It is. I like that.
Okay, now see, this one is the one Chris should have picked, because the one I'm about to pick here, because not only is it like lush with strings, but it's the last track.
Okay.
So yes. It's called My Days. Should have picked it.
Damn. If you'd let me get a word in. All right. Shh, shh, shh.
Thank you. Young man. That's good, nice. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Go ahead and make your comment.
No, I was going to... You guys were kind of whispering some little stuff over that. I was just going to say, it's a good thing nobody can hear us talking. But yeah. I started, and I was like, nah, I'll take it one step too far. But
why are we still whispering?
I don't know. But...
Like we're telling...
I want to make a bold prediction here.
Yeah?
That either you... Well, you can't tell who I'm looking at. Either Will or Chris is going to have that on their top 10 this year. Or maybe me, right?
If I was thinking about it, I wouldn't say it out loud because then I'd be locked in.
I always do that.
Yeah.
Damn.
Can't commit.
Like,
you know?
Steve Mason's definitely in my top 10.
Oh.
Oh.
Crap. Now we got to do the top 9 for Barrett.
No, only 8. I already claimed one.
Yeah, I think he did. I think the spots are filling up.
I'll probably put Yola Tango on there, too.
Oh.
All these bands are like, they're thinking, oh, my God, there's one less spot available on Barrett's top 10.
Pressure's mounting, bands.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're recording an album right now that you plan to put out later in this year, it had better be good.
Vampire Weekend comes out in 2 weeks, and so they're probably going to run back to the studio and be like, you know, this doesn't.
Yeah,
this
doesn't these songs are all shit. We got to start. Oops, I can't say that.
We're gonna.
These songs are all bad. We got to start all over again.
You remember what's going to happen when that Vampire Weekend album comes out?
Oh, what happens?
We'll be able to answer this.
And now it's time for the quiz question of the week.
Remember that? It was which would be better, the Vampire Weekend album or the Strokes album?
Ah, yes.
That's right.
Yeah. I watched Vampire Weekend play a show. They, like, the credit card company streamed, like, the whole show they played in New York City last week online. It was directed by Steve Buscemi. And it was pretty good. A couple of the new songs I like quite a bit.
Bob Boylan says he likes it. I listened to Bob Boylan talking about it today. He was interviewing the band members.
Of course, Barrett and I saw them in 100-degree weather at Pitchfork last year. And, it was good.
So, I don't know.
Looking forward to it.
I just don't know.
Yeah.
I'm open-minded. We'll see. I liked the Strokes album a little bit better than I expected. So, maybe the same thing will happen with Vampire Weekend. Who knows? You just never know. That's good. It's got unpredictability is good, right?
Give me a number that you think Pitchfork is going to give it.
The Vampire Weekend?
Yeah,
album?
I'm going to say, well, they could go one of two ways here.
Yeah.
They could give it a 5.6, or they could say, everybody's expecting it be 5.6. We're going to give it an 8 point something.
There is just, I think there is just no way they're going to give this thing an 8 or above. I mean,
that's what everybody thinks, and then they could be like, it's a 9.1.
No, I actually think they're going to go middle range, and
we should have a contest. 6.7.
No, I think they're going to give it like a 7.2. Like, they're like, we're not really excited, but we have to admit there's some good music on here. So
I'm going to go with 6.7.
Okay, Chris?
Before you even started all this, I was going to say 6.5.
All right.
Okay, so see, I'm predicting the highest score.
Yeah.
Okay.
For an album none of us has heard.
Right.
So, yeah.
But that raises the question, does Pitchfork really need to hear the album to decide what they're going to review it?
Once
you're into the third or fourth album, I'm not sure.
This is like the websites that do their summer movie previews without having seen, without knowing anything about the movies.
Right.
It's like, here's why this movie could be good, but here's why it could be bad. It's like, let's wait till it comes out.
Right.
Yeah. Well, all right, good. There's a lot of good music coming out. We have a couple on the agenda for next week. And
we do?
Yeah, we do. Oh. We'll tell you about them a little later, Chris.
All right.
You don't get to find out quite yet. And then there's stuff coming out, too. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good spring.
Yeah. I promised a listener that I would, I would listen to the Grateful Dead and get back. That's still a work in progress.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't want you to think that I've given up on that. I haven't listened to it since I mentioned it, but I just remembered it right now. So I'll report that I'm still on that project.
Speaking of listeners, when we were whispering, I was going to say it sounded like we were telling little Fox Ogburn to go to bed.
Yeah.
Go to bed.
We were trying to calm him.
Go to bed, Fox.
You know what? His dad is obviously, Nicholas is obviously going to save these things.
Right.
All these little mentions and stuff.
Yeah.
And long after we're dead.
Right.
He's going to be like, hey, dudes, listen to this.
Nicholas will have this. Like,
these dead.
These nerdy American podcasters talked about you.
Right.
Yeah.
For no other reason than just.
Yeah.
But what if he like ends up becoming like Mick Jagger or something, like the Mick Jagger of Australia?
Whoa.
And it's all because of our influence. Yeah.
Isn't Nick Cave already the Mick Jagger of Australia?
Yeah, I guess he is. Well, he could be the...
He's the Nick Cave of Australia.
What could he be? Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah. Well, if that happens, can we say that we discovered him?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Just
I think so.
Remember us little people.
We should take credit. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I think right now the most famous Australian in America is Nemo the fish.
I didn't know that he was Australian.
Yes.
I didn't either.
Yes.
I thought that it was...
the dentist's office, that they steal him and put him in the dentist's office, that's in Sydney, right by the opera house there.
Hmm.
Yeah. Nemo, Australian.
So it's like it's like in the Great Barrier Reef, that's like where the action takes place or something?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually.
I thought it was in like Lake Michigan or something. I had no
Lake
idea.
Lake Wissota? Up in by Lake Eau Claire?
No, I don't know Lake Wissota.
That's where Bon Iver swims.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a magical waters.
Beard and all. Yeah.
All right. Is he done for?
Bon Iver?
Yeah.
He's too
over
famous.
With, right?
No, he's too famous to be over with.
Yeah. I'm over with him.
Well,
sorry, everybody.
I don't know. I think it's going to be like the Vampire Weekend in the Stokes albums.
You guys both really like Bon Iver. Him. I know you do, so. I don't dislike him.
I like him.
I just think that his praise is out of proportion with his music.
Well, that's I guess I would have to agree
big
with
time.
That. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of bailed after the first album.
Yeah.
The second one was so-so, I think.
I thought it was better than the first one.
Wow.
I did. Wow. I'm sure I'm on record saying that.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think Chris is highly anticipating the new album by The National.
Yeah,
given what he said about them before, so they've got an album coming out soon,
right? Yeah. If we had like producers on this thing, then we could just say, "Hey, go find that part where Chris talks about The National." I'd say,
right.
Well, I actually know what he said because he said there are 200 bands, like 200 was the number, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Which could do that.
Yep,
right.
He did say 200.
Yeah. Did you read about
that? So there'd be four.
I stand by my comment.
There'd be four of them in Wisconsin.
Yeah. You know, there's a documentary about The National. Did you guys read about that? Chris wouldn't care. So if he started to read it, he'd stop after the headline. But no, Matt Berninger, if that's how you say his name, the lead singer, his brother, they hired his brother or just whatever, had him be a roadie. And then his brother brought a video camera along and then he started like filming everything. And he said, hey, I think I'll make a movie about this. I'm going on tour with The National. Apparently, it's pretty good.
Huh.
So, I'd be interested to see that.
Is there a clip of us when we went to see him?
I don't know. There should be. Yeah. Maybe from the High
News
or
something. One
of the
guys in The National, his brother played hockey for the Badgers, right?
I think
or his cousin.
So. Or something. There's some connection there. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they have a little bit of a Wisconsin
So,
connection.
There's that.
Yeah.
So, if you like hockey... And music.
Then you gotta love The National.
Gotta love The National. Okay. Chris, I don't understand you're not liking that band.
Yeah, it's inexplicable.
With the amount of attention that they get and the number of people that like them, I'm the first guy that would line up on the other side and say, they suck. But I actually really like them a lot. So that proves that you are wrong.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yes, public popularity... Definitely is a good indicator of what's good.
No, that's if they're popular and I like them despite my wanting to not like them, that means that you're wrong not to like them.
Yeah.
All right.
So
anyway. We'll take that up again.
Duly noted. Yes, I'm sure.
Within the next month or so, probably.
Plenty of space on your hard drive for this discussion in the future.
We have 521 hours of recording time left. According to my little printout down here.
I got to go to work, and I'm like pretty tired.
This is going to be like a Flaming
Lips. Is
that
what you were?
Flaming Lips song that goes on for years straight?
No, remember before I upgraded the hard drive, we were down to like, 10 hours or 9 hours of recording, and the hard drive would be completely full.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's getting a little scary.
You know, what we should do sometime. We should do a marathon, like where we raise money for
me.
Yeah, I was going to say like for like, you mean like you know, buying scotch and stuff.
You mean like
yeah.
a 24-hour podcast?
Yeah.
There's a podcast that I listened to that did a 24-hour show, and my son, and he was like 10 or 11 at the time, insisted on staying up all night to it was on like YouTube or whatever, and video. I'm like, "Oh my god,
I would do that.
I ended up letting him do it because it was just, and it was very funny because they were like, they had all this stuff going on. They're like, "Okay, now we're going to talk about this and this and this." And then it got to be like, you know, hour 20, and they were just like, their heads were like sinking into the desk, and they were just like, "Oh, God."
That wouldn't be me. I'd be.
You'd be full energy the whole time. Yeah. 24-hour podcast. Yeah.
Just drink five-hour energy drinks. That's
right. That's yeah, and then you're good to go. Right. Then afterwards, you could go for a bike ride. You'd have one. extra hour.
You know, it'd be the listeners would get their money's worth for sure, right? Out of that
yeah.
one. Yeah. I mean, it would just.
What would be the bigger feat? Recording that or listening to it?
Oh, man. Well, you'd have to. You could.
Probably listening to it. Like, we could record it, and if this were like for charity, we'd maybe get whatever, like a small amount of money under the right circumstances. But they could. People could be like. Will you give me $10 for every hour that I listen to? And they'd raise tons of money.
I guarantee you, if we did like each did our top 100 albums.
Yes.
Oh my God.
All three of us.
Of
all time. That's, whoa. That's a 24-hour podcast right
Can
there.
Can you imagine? You know, it's like. Now we're to number 42. Oh my God!
Will. Yeah, we can. Yeah,
here's Will's number. We argue for an hour whether like between what should be 42 and 43.
Those kinds of things are always on Labor Day, right? Like the 500 greatest hits of all time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, we'd get to like number 36, and we'd just be like. I don't care anymore.
Right.
Like, number 36, I guess it's like...
Christopher Cross, again.
What is that second John Cougar album? That was pretty good.
Yep.
Let's say that one.
It's
American
one Pink Houses,
Cougar
right?
or whatever it's
yeah.
called. Yeah.
All right.
Let's see what happens if I do that random song of the week thing.
All right.
Okay, ready? Here we go.
And now it's time for... The random song of the week.
Okay. Chris.
Oh, this is...
Wait.
This is one I know what this is. This is one of Will's own songs.
This is like an old instrumental recording that I made about... How many years ago? 20 years ago. Yeah, listen to that. It's a random song of the week, I guess.
This is your Flock of Seagulls era, period.
Yeah, listen to that.
I like that.
All right, enough of that. Okay, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
We're halfway to 24 hours as it
is. All right, everybody now say goodnight so we can get out of here, and we'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Night.
You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the webpage willsband.net. You can also contact us through the Will's Band of the Week Facebook page or on Twitter @WillsBand. You can also, of course, download the podcast on iTunes, the Stitcher app, or any other podcasting app. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin.